The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Right now, it gives me great, great pleasure to welcome into our makeshift studio here in the Omni Hotel, right slap bang in the middle of downtown Boston, Amy Bruton Blumel, who is an award-winning Native American storyteller, and Dr. Aaron Pyle from the Indigenous Cultures Institute. You are both very, very welcome to the show, and thanks a million. So, ye are members of First Nations tribes. Is that the way to describe it? So, Choctaw, Aaron, is that...
Oh, yes, indeed.
Your nation.
There's many ways to describe it. First Nations, Indigenous, Native American. There's lots to unpack when it comes to the terminology, yeah. But at the end of the day, I prefer to be called Choctaw.
Okay, so you're Choctaw and Chickasaw, Amy, is that right? Although you were telling me during the news headlines there, that's the kind of the anglicized version.
Yeah. I am a member of the Chickasaw Nation, and traditionally we would have called ourselves Chickasha, the Chickasha people. Many, many Native tribes their mispronounced names or anglicized versions of their names.
But. Oh, really? Because that's actually, there's so many place names in Ireland that are actually, so where I live in, it's called Kilkenny. And actually, that's just an anglicized version of Irish, Kilkeannig, the Church of Canis. So you see that all over Ireland, everywhere. Oh, place names everywhere are just anglicized versions of Irish names.
And it's here in the United States, too. Most of our states are named after tribes or tribal words. Most of our cities, there's Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama should be Tuscaloosa. Losa is black, Tusca is warrior, but it's a mispronunciation. Oklahoma, Homa is red, Okla is people or man.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you see that all over
this
country.
It's the same thing.
As well. And you mentioned Oklahoma, both of your nations, your tribes, like, I mean, that's the part of the world that I would find most people. Is it at the moment?
Oh, Oklahoma is one of the five states that does have the largest Native American population.
Okay.
Texas is also one of those.
Yeah.
But in Oklahoma, what you see is Native American people concentrated on tribal land bases, reservations. In Texas, the majority of us are in our cities, Houston, Dallas, Austin. So we're a little more dispersed in this state.
And you'll also see Chickasaws and Choctaws throughout the world as well.
You know. So, Amy, how important is your Indigenous, your Native American identity to you?
Well, you know, I feel, you know, my family was separated a lot because of, you know, problems and trauma. And so I feel for myself that it's very important that I'm proud for people who couldn't be, you know, who suffered at the oppression and Indian schools and things like that. So I feel it's very important to carry on those traditions and be proud of my ancestry.
And how do you express that pride and those traditions?
Well, I go to stomp dances, which are our ceremonial grounds and our open grounds, and I try to participate in all of our traditions. And then I also travel all over the United States and educate about Southeastern people. And I have a dance troupe as well called Chickasha Hitla, which we go and do these dances, which are probably some of the oldest dances on the continent, and we educate about that we're still doing those. We're still here. You know.
And who's the target audience? I mean, is it kind of First Nations people who maybe aren't aware of their own heritage? Is it everybody else? Is it a broader church? Or tell me about that.
I think it's everybody, because really I think here in the United States so many people are ignorant of the cultures that were here before them. So anytime we reach out and educate and we'll go places and people will stand up and say, hey, they're Chickasaw, Choctaw, Seminole, whatever, and they'll want to join us and come up and dance. So that's always nice, too, to meet someone that's, you know, understands the traditions.
Aaron, how important is the identity to you, the Choctaw identity?
Oh, well, it is something that growing up in a family that was deeply interwoven into the Choctaw tribe, there on the Choctaw Reservation, it has been a part of me my entire life. But in my teenage years, moved out from southeastern Oklahoma and came here to central Texas. And I felt to a certain degree a disconnect from that part of my identity. But it wasn't until my college years, I was walking across the campus of Texas State University, and I began to hear the drums and sounds of powwow that took me back to my childhood right there on campus. That day I met elders and vendors and friends that aren't from my tribe, but are part of that intertribal tradition that still felt like home. So I just want to speak to the importance of having these type of events, Native American representation in spaces of education. There's a lot of power to that. For a Choctaw, very far from Choctaw country, it did a lot to make me feel at home in college.
What is the legal status of the different nations, different tribes in the country? I mean, does it change from part of the country, from state to state? Is there kind of, is there a federal
That's
status?
Complicated, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That's the big question. So there are approximately 560, it changed a little bit since last time I looked it up, what we call federally recognized tribes. These are tribes that exist as a state within the state. We have our own governments. We have our own, often, court systems, police forces on tribal lands, this sort of thing. But it's important to acknowledge that Ramirez, a writer who came out with a fabulous book called Native Hubs a few years back, estimated that approximately half of the Native American people in this country are not federally recognized, meaning they do not have access to the same political capital that there is for Native American people or for the federally recognized tribes. So that's a really interesting example of how even among traditionally disempowered people, there can still be layers of privilege.
How much, you know, variety is there in experience, again, across the country from kind of, you know, reservation to reservation?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it depends if you're living in a very isolated place, like some of the tribes that are way out, and it takes an hour to drive in and out. You know, they're having a totally different experience than natives like myself that were raised in urban traditions. And even in Oklahoma, the Chickasaws and Choctaws, they're in, you know, around cities enough that it's very easy to get in and out. So everyone's experience is so different. You know, some grow up in the powwow tradition like you did. I didn't grow up in the powwow tradition, but I go more with our traditional stomp dancing and social dance traditions. But that doesn't make it any less or more than the traditions. We're all practicing, you know, so it's a different experience, but good.
And if I could just add on to that, too often Native American identity is boiled down to the old cliches, right? Mm-hmm. What people learned from the 1950s dime store novels or old Westerns, that we all lived in teepees, we all, you know, chased the buffalo. A lot of stuff that comes from cliches around the Plains traditions. And there, that's beautiful traditions and lots of history there. But it is a big continent. There is a big variety in indigenous ways of being.
Well, I always say in this part of the world, there's two types of tribes. You either wore a headdress or lived in a pueblo. That's what they believe. But the truth is, we were so varied and so different. Different languages, different traditions, different areas, different home styles, different diets. You know, it was all different. And it's kind of, when you try to lump natives into one mass ball, it's kind of like saying, well, everyone that lives in the UK, well, they're the same because they live in that area.
Yeah.
But, you know as well as I do, the Scottish and the Irish and the, you know, Welsh, all these people, they're so different. And even within those groups, you have differences.
Yeah, and I suspect lots of people maybe listening to this at home are probably guilty of that. And it's no great sin. It's an understandable one. There's not necessarily the kind of cultural connection or historical connection. So, you know, you mentioned kind of native tribes or an indigenous people, and they probably do think of something from a John Wayne movie.
That have been told.
Well, and it's the same here. But a lot of people think of, you know, if you say Irish, it's always leprechauns and things like that, because we don't have that. A lot of people here in the United States don't have that connection to really understand what your culture is as well.
But has that changed, you know, when you talk about those misconceptions, I mean, do they persist in this country? Do they persist in the States as well?
Well, I'll say I do a lot of public speaking to different groups in education, and I have had, oh, call it kids in the area of 7 or 8 years old ask me, do you still ride a horse to go to work? So that's still, it's like, no, I drive a Jeep. Come on. There are still remnants of these cliches, but in 2024, there's good work being done around education and more opportunity for Native people to tell our own stories, right? I think about Tuck and Ree. Two scholars out of the University of Toronto describes how the problem of too often the only stories that get told about us are about pain and oppression, right? The stories of losing our land, the stories of substance abuse, issues that might, there is reality to some of these, but there is so much good work being done in Indian country today that, well, I'll just say that our children deserve the right to hear those stories about success.
Yeah. How do you balance, I guess, kind of shaking yourselves free from maybe a kind of a history of oppression or discrimination, but still kind of preserving that distinct identity? You know, that as kind of society kind of says this, and, you know, then this is not okay to treat people differently, you know, that you still kind of want to say, yeah, but hold on, that's great, but we are different and we still want to celebrate that difference.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what I do when I go out and I travel and I educate and I And I tell our stories, but I also mix it with our history and I share language. And then I also explain when I show up in regalia, I explain what the regalia is, why it's worn, and how if you see me tomorrow at the grocery store, I won't be in it. You know, and that I try to show that natives are more than just the ideal stereotype. We're living, we're doing, we're every day, you know, trying to further who we are. And I think our ability to be flexible is what, you know, speaks to our existence and resistance.
And what are the challenges then in that regard, in terms of, you know, kind of achieving those aims as you set them out?
You do still bump into people who want to ask you the most, you know, insane questions or very stereotypical things like that. And I think that's the challenge, is trying to present, you know, yourself as human and not just a poster or an idea or a movie clip, you know? What about you?
I'll say that, I mean, pushing back against all of the systems that have caused these issues around colonization, Brayboy once described colonization as being interwoven. It's at the individual level, but it's also in our systems, in our education. Finding ways to navigate that can be very challenging. I mean, look at the state of Texas. We're a state that has 5 federally recognized tribes. None of them are originally from Texas, which raises the question, where did the native people
from
Texas
go? Yeah, where did they go?
They're still here, but today they're largely called Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, Mexican. It's estimated that 70% of quote-unquote Hispanic population in our state are actually indigenous to this land. But through a couple of hundred years of politics, of racism, of colonization, those identities have been stolen.
Yeah.
And in 2024, there is a lot of incredible work being done to reclaim those identities.
Again, it just shows how we kind of look at history, maybe even through a modern prism, and we kind of imagine this part of the world kind of several hundred years ago, with still a line drawn across between kind of Mexico and the United States, there was a border.
Well, and a lot of people here still like refer to Hispanics, and they'll say, oh, well, that's not indigenous. And I'm like, the reason they speak Spanish is that's who conquered them. They weren't speaking Spanish prior to the Spaniards arriving. They were speaking Mesotec and Mayan and Aztec and all these languages. Same with us. We weren't speaking English until, you know, we were colonized, and with the Irish as well, I would imagine. You know, you have.
Are there those who are kind of very protective of not the cliche, but still maybe not kind of expanding the definition or the understanding too far? You know what I mean? Are there those within the community, the broader Native community, who kind of say, I'm not sure about including those guys?
Well, one important thing is I'm Choctaw. I can speak to the perspective of a Choctaw.
Yeah.
One of my good friends and mentors, Ray Duncan, is a Cherokee elder, grew up on a reservation, spent his life working in Cherokee issues, and he was once asked at a powwow, what does it mean to be Native American? His response was, I have no idea. All I can say is what it means to be Cherokee from my people. So I hesitate from drawing back on criticizing another group of people and how they interact. But I will say that there are lots of cliches out there of what it means to be Native. And it's a market where sometimes, I mean, this is an issue for Indigenous people around the world, right? I've read articles about Indigenous Australians doing the performativity piece about taking outside visitors for tours and kind of playing up a lot of their cultural backgrounds because they tip well. Right?
Yeah.
So putting culture on display and commodifying it can be problematic.
And it can be problematic too, because for a long time that was the only way that people could make a living when you're isolated in reservation type communities and you don't have the ability. So you do what brings people in, and hopefully we're reaching a point now where that's changing.
Yeah.
You know, but you always have people who hang on to old ideas, or people who, and like you said, I can't even speak for Chickasaw people. I can speak for myself as a Chickasaw. You know, what the next Chickasaw will tell you would be a totally different story, possibly.
I'm going to have to kind of betray absolute ignorance in kind of so many of these issues that I find it's really fascinating. And I wish we could talk about it for an awful lot longer. I really do. So, but thanks a million for chatting to us. We've got a lovely message in here from Charlie and Ursula Clark. They are listening in Kilcully in Cork. We are Airbnb hosts in Cork, and we are privileged to host a young man from the Choctaw tribe for 2 weeks in 2022. The Irish government provides 2 bursaries to young students of the Choctaw Nation every year. This is an appreciation for their help to Ireland during the famine. This was an extraordinary gesture. At the time, there was an unveiling ceremony in Middleton, Cork, a few years back, dedicated to the Choctaw Nation, and their chief attended the ceremony. The young man that stayed with us, called Austin, his name was Austin, actually, where we are today, and he was a wonderful gentleman. He was attending UCC doing a political degree. Pleasure to have him with us. So that's a lovely message from Charlie and Ursula Clark. And I do remember, actually, that ceremony, and I spoke to that chief of the Choctaw Nation at the time, who was here. He was on the Hard Shoulder. And like any interview, you can listen back to them. They're available as podcasts on the Go Loud app. Amy Brute and Blue Mel and Dr. Aaron Powell, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.